Wherever your treasure is, there also the desires of your heart will be. Those are Jesus' words. I find them pretty hard hitting. They might be liberating for some, but I find them pretty hard hitting. What you do shows what you love. Where you spend your time shows what you're interested in. It's really challenging. I think Jesus is trying to get us to reflect and expose these things in our lives. Our actions reveal what's important to us. It's funny, it reminds me of Marshall McLuhan. He was this Edmonton sociologist. He coined this term, the medium is the message. Anyone familiar with that? Basically, it means this. It means that what you do says more than what you say. Like if you're holding a phone when you're talking to someone, it shows that the phone is more important than them. I'm going to put this down. I'm expecting a call, but I'll put it face down. That was more polite, I've heard. There it is, face down. Actions reveal what's important to us. Actions show us what our hearts are like. There's this concept called price customization in marketing. I'm sure you're probably all familiar with it. You've probably experienced it. You might not know it by that name, but it goes like this. Companies that try to sell you stuff do some things to get information to make you a more effective consumer and themselves a more effective seller. So the first thing they do is buy information about you. So they can get this from all sorts of sources. They pay money, they get information about what kind of house you live in, what kind of car you drive, credit cards, spending patterns, marital status, all that sort of stuff. It's the first thing they do. Second thing they do is they track your website visits. They know where you go. They know what you're shopping for. They know how long you spend looking at certain things. As a matter of fact, if you come back to another website and haven't bought it, if you go back again, the price may be higher or lower. They track your visits. They also do this. You got to be careful with this one. They give you free Wi-Fi in their stores. And you need to read the terms and conditions, because when they give you free Wi-Fi in the stores and you accept the conditions, they track you as you walk through the store and see what displays you stop at and how long you linger there and what you've bought, and decide based on that how they want to market to you and sell to you. They also have loyalty cards. Anyone have a loyalty card? A loyalty card allows them to see what you buy and how often you buy, your shopping patterns, and based on all of this, they know more about you and your shopping patterns and what you like than you do. And they will send you coupon books that are customized just for you. Isn't that a privilege? You can go buy more. That's the whole idea. Now, I find that kind of spooky. I find it kind of creepy. But it's there, and they say it exists to serve the customer and make the customer happy. You guys are happy, right? It does remind me of the saying of Jesus, though. There's something about it, about being confronted by your shopping patterns, that is disorienting and could be disappointing and disturbing. And that's the reason we don't want people to know about this, because we want to keep it private. Our actions reveal our heart, and I don't think we like to face the truth. Where your treasure is, that's also where your heart is. The scripture is kind of an uncomfortable one. It cuts deep. It challenges us. It says it's going to expose things in our lives that are uncomfortable, that are difficult to face. And Jesus is telling his disciples, if you really love me, if your heart has been changed, you will be like a disciple of Christ. This is how you can tell you're a disciple of Christ. Your actions show that your heart's been changed. We're going to read Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 to 21. where Jesus tells his disciples all of this. Don't store up treasures here on earth where moths eat them and rust destroys them, and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven where moths and rust cannot destroy, and thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. Jesus' followers are supposed to have hearts like his. Jesus' followers are supposed to have transformed hearts, and Jesus is saying, this is how you know if you are like me. Where your treasure is, that's what you love. If you have a heart like mine, you will love things that I love. You know, I know this scripture seems a little folksy, a little easy. I kind of like that down-home appeal of it. Oh, what you do is what you like. Seems kind of obvious, right? You spend time with things that you like doing. We know that. Yet I think our capacity to deceive ourselves is quite strong. I think our inability to face things that we need to face is quite strong. You know, right before this section of scripture, Jesus started his ministry and he's preaching. He started preaching to the masses. He had this thing called the Beatitudes, his sermon, the Blesseds. And he called his disciples and he started showing them what it meant to be a disciple of Christ. That this whole kingdom thing, this whole Jesus thing was about this reversal, about this kingdom that's upside down, that's turned around, and it has a whole different set of standards. Where people pursue wealth and other things, Jesus says those things don't satisfy. Don't pursue these things. He says your heart is where your treasure is. True disciples are like this. The inside matches the outside. They have kingdom hearts. Their inside matches the outside. What you treasure is what you love. This is tough. This is hard, and I think we all need to face it. What do you treasure? Because what you treasure reveals where your heart is. You know, this is a bit sexist, I guess, but I guess I can say it. The way to a man's heart is through his stomach, right? So a lot of us treasure food. That's known. That is a known statement. I did not make that up. It's a known truth. But this is a discipleship question. This is, examine yourself. What do you love? Where are you searching? What's feeding you? You know, the biblical understanding of heart, they understood that it was this beating organ, but they also thought it was something more, like that thing that you eat to get to, right? The man's stomach? Sort of like that? No. It was actually the seat of emotions. This is where all the impulse came from, the drive and direction of humanity, your will, your emotions, all your desires and drive came from your heart. That it represented your true self. Your time and talents are spent on what you love, what your heart drives at, what comes out. Your treasure is what you spend your time, talents, and attention on. And is it a match? Is what you believe in your head the same as what you do and what your heart loves? Do they match? I'm a little embarrassed to tell you this because I want to say I wasn't eavesdropping, but maybe I was because I heard the conversation and now I'm telling you. But I did hear a conversation about this lady. Maybe it was a job interview. I don't know what it was, but all I know is this lady was talking a lot and the other one was listening a lot. And the lady talking was saying how much she loved people and understood people and loved being with people and just listening to them. I'm like, there's a lot of talking going on, not much listening. I don't know if you're telling the truth here. The outside doesn't match the inside. We're often like that. Things don't match. Do you love Jesus? Well, do you love people? Jesus loved people. You know, because so much of our relationship with people is to get things that we need from people. Maybe to dominate them. Maybe to damage them because it makes us feel powerful. Or to gossip. Or to be rude. Or somehow fulfill our needs and use other people. Do our actions match our hearts? Matthew 12:34 says this. He calls these people snakes, a brood of vipers. What is in your heart inevitably comes out. It's revealed. Your heart eventually reveals itself. Your treasure is what you spend your time, talents, and attention on. Jesus says to his disciples and to us that our patterns, our behavior, where we spend our time, what we treasure, reveals what's inside. And there's this warning in verse 19, it's all temporary. It all crumbles. Don't store up treasures here on earth where moths eat them and rust destroys them. And where thieves break in and steal. It's temporary. It's all temporary and gets destroyed. Makes you wonder why we spend so much time accumulating things, doesn't it? Because so much of our stuff rots, gets broken, gets stolen. I had a really sad day a while ago. Yeah. Really sad. Thanks for that empathy. We saved up money to buy 4 new bikes, and we were so excited to have these bikes. And we put them in our garage, of course, like you do, and we shut the door. And the next day, we went out to ride our new bikes, and I went to the garage, and something's missing here, but I can't quite put my finger on it. I don't know what's missing. All 4 bikes were gone. Thank you. It was terrible. Things get stolen. Things break. Things get wrecked. Things rot. I used to renovate houses. And the stuff we found in the houses that people loved that was brand new at one point that we took out threw in the dump, stuff just rots. It gets old. It doesn't satisfy for long. You know, there are 3 categories of things that have worldly value that Jesus refers to throughout the Gospels. Living for the moment, materialism, and image. And seeking these things wounds our hearts and leaves us empty. Living for the moment hurts because it's the pursuit of temporary things that disappoint. I want to clarify, I'm not talking about living in the present. That's a good practice. I'm talking about living for the moment. They're 2 different things. Living for the moment is living for things that are trivial and don't last. Living in the present is being fully present. That's a different thing. This is about things that fill your belly in the moment, like McDonald's. Ooh, that's living in the present. I said was good, right? No, it's the other one. Feels good now, but man, it has little value. It's impulse versus investment. It's addiction to things that we think help us but hurt us. And addictions run a huge gamut. All of us probably have some sort of addiction. Hello, coffee. Drugs, smoking, pornography, money, power, you name it. We all try to fill something with addiction, and it hurts us. What about leisure? Feeling good for the moment. Things that just feel great. I mean, I tried to be a vegan for 5 days. And I went to Costco shopping with my son, and we bought a couple chickens because they missed having meat in the house. And I thought, I'm strong. We get home, and I'm like, I actually want this chicken. So I opened one of these barbecue chickens, and I had some. I ate the whole thing with my hands, and it was so good. And I thought, never again, vegan. Some things feel good in the moment, but they don't last. Power's like that. People want power over each other. Our bodies are like that. We can spend too much time on our bodies. Next is materialism. Possessions and money have little value and cannot make us happy in and of themselves. Like cars. I don't quite believe that yet because I've never had a Porsche, but I've heard that it gets bad after a while. Like it's just terrible owning a Porsche. Houses, everything loses its luster. Apple Watches, get tired of them after a while. You might even drop it and it'll break. Things break. Right, Dave? Right, Dave Waters? These things seduce us with their promise to make us feel whole and healthy, but it's a lie. It's worldly material that doesn't satisfy. Matthew 6:24 says, you cannot serve God and mammon. That's the fun way to say it. New translations say, can't serve God and money. Mammon's just fun, right? Can't serve God and mammon. Those two things are incompatible. Doesn't mean that money is necessarily bad, but the love of money is evil. You can't serve those two things at the same time. The next is image control. Jesus spends a lot of time leading up to Matthew chapter 6 talking about image control. Doing things to impress people and control what they think about us hurts and damages our hearts. We can become captive to this, like praying way too long because we know people are listening. Using words we wouldn't normally use. Saying things that sound really super spiritual so people think we're spiritual. Fasting, like the Pharisees did, right? Making sure people know that we feel kind of weak. Yeah, no, I'm okay. No, I've just been fasting for a couple days, but I'm fine. The Bible says put oil on your head. So I did that. It was way better. I didn't. Oh boy. It's a tough crowd. Giving. Making a big show of giving. When the plate comes around, making sure that that envelope is thick, or maybe even having an empty one to put in just so everyone sees. It's about being phony, trying to control what people think of you. And we become addicted to this, and all of this stuff does not satisfy. It leads to brokenness. Treasuring things of worldly value reveals a wounded heart. Then he contrasts these things with things that have lasting value in verse 20. Store your treasures in heaven where moths and rust cannot destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. There's a saying that I really dislike and I need to clarify this. This isn't about adding another jewel to your crown. You ever hear that before? Do that, you'll get a jewel in your crown. It's like we're transferring worldly greed to heavenly greed. Like we just want to be greedy up there, like we're greedy here. So it's about a bank account up there so we can be wealthy up there. No, this is about kingdom values. Investing in things that are important. It's just a little while ago that I got a phone call from a friend. You guys, this is relational. You guys will get this. A lot of you will get this. And I found out that he had lung cancer. And it was at that time that I thought, okay, this is actually when we need to dig in and have these conversations. We committed to talking, trying to talk every day. That was a high bar. Didn't work, but we invested in that time together. That was a good decision. It was hard, but it was a good decision. That's a kingdom value. When you invest in people, that's a kingdom value. Three examples of this from Jesus are dying to live, fruits, and humility. Let me explain what dying to live means. Jesus says a few chapters back, "Thy kingdom come." It's having this perspective about what's important in this life. It's dying to self. There's this reversal. It's a loss of life so we can find our life. Matthew 10:39 says, "Whoever finds their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for my sake will find it." There's a reversal with kingdom ethics. And it's a perspective that we're to live by. Fruits of the Spirit have lasting value. These are kingdom things. Love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, and generosity. Instead of hoarding money, you give away. Because when you hoard, it says something about your heart. But when you give away money, it says something about your heart. The inside matches the outside. And if you've been transformed as a follower of Jesus, you are a generous person. A healed heart is a kingdom heart. I've done some weddings that were weird. In Edmonton, I did this wedding that was weird all around. You know you're in trouble when they say, "We don't have to pay you, do we?" Of course not. That's the right thing to say, right? But anyway, I get to the place, and it's in the penthouse at this big hotel with wedding planners and double photographers and all this, and that doesn't matter. I'm not bitter. But the weird thing was that when the bride was walking down the aisle with the dad, the dad was wearing Bluetooth earphones. Like, what's so important? You didn't get a call? Hello? No, I can't take it right now. I'm busy walking my daughter down the aisle. Was he CIA? Like, I don't know what could be that important. You wear your Bluetooth earphones. It's the weirdest thing. He never got a call. Maybe he had it off or on vibrate. I don't know. What a guy. Wherever your treasure is, there your heart is. I wonder if he could replay that, if he'd want that one back. What we spend time with is what we value. What did he value in that encounter? A phone call that might happen? Your heart is where your treasure is. Does it line up? Jesus wants you to do some probing. Asking these questions. This isn't about condemnation. This is an opportunity for you to get healthy and to get healed. Your heart is where your treasure is. And we love what we spend time with. Are you happy with what that's telling you? Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be.